The girls had decorated it with bits of material and some rough and ready furniture. By the sound of it, the owners of the voices thought it was a palace.
"Hey, hey, hey, we're in the cushy stuff new. There's a bed in this room, with pillows."
"Keep it down. We don't want any of them to wake up."
"Gravens, I'm as quiet as a wee moose. Ha! Oh, there's soldiers."
"What do you mean, soldiers?"
"There's redcoats in the room."
"They found the toy soldiers," thought Tiffany, trying not to breathe loudly. Strictly speaking, they had no place in the doll's house, but Wentworth wasn't old enough for them, and so they got used as innocent bystanders back in those days when Tiffany had made tea parties for her dolls. Well, what passed for dolls? Such toys as there were in the farmhouse had to be tough to survive intact through the generations, and didn't always manage it. Last time Tiffany had tried to arrange a party, the guests had been a rag doll with no head, two wooden soldiers, and three quarters of a small teddy bear. Thuds and bangs came from the direction of the doll's house.
"I got one! Here, pal, can your mummy sew? Stitch this! I got... He's got a heat on him like a tree!"
"Crivens, there's a body here with no heat at all."
"Aye, and I wonder, because he is a bear. Feel my boot, you washoon!"
It seemed to Tiffany that although the owners of the three voices were fighting things that couldn't possibly fight back, including a teddy bear with only one leg, the fight still wasn't all going one way.
"I got him! I got him! I got him! You're going to get a gabber, you wee had disease!"
"Oh, someone bit my leg! Someone bit my leg! Come here, ach, you're fighting yourselves, you idiots! I'm fed up with you, perius!"
Tiffany felt Ratbag stir. He might be fat and lazy, but he was lightning fast when it came to leaping on small creatures. She couldn't let him get the... whatever they were, however bad they sounded. She coughed loudly.
"See!"
said a voice from the doll's house.
"You woke them up! I'm off ski!"
Silence fell again, and this time, Tiffany decided after a while, it was the silence of no one there, rather than the silence of people being incredibly quiet. Ratbag went back to sleep, twitching occasionally as he disemboweled something in his fat cat dreams. Tiffany waited a little while, and then got out of bed and crept towards the bedroom door, avoiding the two squeaky floorboards. She went downstairs in the dark, found a chair by moonlight, fished the book of fairy tales off Granny's shelf, then lifted the latch on the back door and stepped out into the warm midsummer night. There was a lot of mist around, but a few stars were visible overhead, and there was a gibbous moon in the sky. Tiffany knew it was gibbous because she'd read in the almanac that gibbous meant what the moon looked like when it was just a bit fatter than half full, and so she made a point of paying attention to it around those times, just so that she could say to herself, "Ah, I see the moon's very gibbous tonight." It's possible that this tells you more about Tiffany than she would want you to know. Against the rising moon, the downs were a black wall that filled half the sky. For a moment, she looked for the light of Granny Aching's lantern. Granny never lost a lamb. That was one of Tiffany's first memories, of being held by her mother at the window one frosty night in early spring, with a million brilliant stars glinting over the mountains, and, on the darkness of the downs, the one yellow star in the constellation of Granny Aching, zigzagging through the night. She wouldn't go to bed while a lamb was lost, however bad the weather. There was only one place where it was possible for someone in a large family to be private, and that was in the privy. It was a three-holer, and it was where everyone went if they wanted to be alone for a while. There was a candle in there, and last year's almanac hanging on a string. The printers knew their readership and printed the almanac on soft, thin paper. Tiffany lit the candle, made herself comfortable, and looked at the book of fairy tales. The moon gibbered at her through the crescent-shaped hole cut in the door. She'd never really liked the book. It seemed to her that it tried to tell her what to do and what to think. Don't stray from the path. Don't open that door. But hate the wicked witch because she is wicked. Oh, and believe the shoe size is a good way of choosing a wife. A lot of the stories were highly suspicious, in her opinion. There was the one that ended when the two good children pushed the wicked witch into her own oven. Tiffany had worried about that after all that trouble with Mrs. Snappily. Stories like this stopped people thinking properly, she was sure. She'd read that one and thought, "Excuse me? No one has an oven big enough to get a whole person in. And what made the children think they could just walk around eating people's houses in any case? And why does some boy, too stupid to know a cow is worth a lot more than five beans, have the right to murder a giant and steal all his gold? Not to mention commit an act of ecological vandalism,